Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, part friendly panel show, part vicious competition, where contestants fight with their best anecdotes on mystery topics generated through a trusty bingo ball. I'm Vic Slayton, host of the show, spirit of the bingo balls, and games master. Points will be awarded for originality, amusement value, and my general caprice and mood on the day. The contestant with the most points at the end of the game wins, but their opponents will be granted a few cheat codes along the way, just to keep it interesting.
People of Edinburgh, welcome to the Comedy Arcade. Will you please welcome to the stage your host, Vic Slayton!
Hello, players. Are we well? Right, so who has heard of Comedy Arcade before they came tonight? Right, lovely. Oh, show of hands, we've got a polite audience tonight. We're not wooing, just a tentative show of hands. Good. That is more than usual. Now, I assume you all have been listening to the podcast regularly and loyally. And what has happened? You came in, you hit your head on a low door, and now we're going to have to explain the game just to remind you. But without further ado, I'm going to bring on my right-hand man to help me do the explaining. It is the man, the legend, Rich Wilson, everyone.
Hello. Hello.
They're a subdued one tonight.
It's been hot, hasn't it?
It has been hot.
I mean, I like it. I'm all right with it, but the rest of us have been like slugs under salt, haven't we? Just lying there like... Hey, it's not natural. Yeah.
We've been backstage eating somebody else's cough sweets. We don't know whose they are, do we?
We'll replace them. We're not thieves.
One day.
Borrowing sweets.
That day is not today. Right, Rich, how's the game work?
Right. So, there's categories. And then whatever category comes up, and then we go through our minds trying to find a story that fits that category for something that's happened in our lives. And then the best story gets the best reaction from you guys gets the best points. And then the person with the most points wins.
We'll have this by the end of the round, I reckon.
That's about it, isn't it?
Yeah, this is our eighth go. That's as slick as we can get.
I never take any notice. I just know I'm not going to win.
Well, the good news is, right, we've got an actual SWAT with us tonight. So you've had 8 days of good run. Mm. We've got one of the, you know... The UK's best clever clogs is backstage, and she's funny and cool and glam, and she might replace you. Who knows? What? It's Jenny Ryan, everyone.
Yay!
Look, she's got a notebook. Have you brought a notebook?
No.
Organised, you see. I'm here to win.
It's your first day playing for host team.
Yes. Welcome.
Thank you. You're the first person to say that. I felt very unwelcome the whole day.
Aww.
I have not. I've lots of people trying to sell me cider.
How hard was the sell?
Yeah.
Yeah, like springing out behind bars, like...
Walking around like a Ghostbuster with a big pint on your back. Just
Oh, imagine.
Be amazing, wouldn't it?
That'd be a great day, wouldn't it?
What a time to be alive.
We are really lucky to have a very special guest tonight. She was adamant she wasn't doing any spots and was just here to watch shows, but we talked her into it. It is the absolutely extraordinary genius-like talent of Beck Hill.
Yay! Yeah! Woo! Yay!
Hi.
Welcome.
I like the intro. It does very much suggest that you just pulled someone off the street. She was adamant that she's just here to see shows.
Yep.
But
she's on at the bar at Risto Square. It's like, you can have 20% off with your pass.
Yeah, I'll take that. Thank you.
Why do you think I'm here?
We lured you in with candy kittens, didn't we?
That's right. Candy kittens and glitter.
Yep. Amazing.
It's the name of my show that I'm not doing.
I'd watch that show.
I'd buy
that's
the DVD.
A solid 5 stars. Now, Charlene Jahan is looking a bit different, to be honest. She couldn't make it at the last minute because she is trapped in somebody else's show and didn't want to be rude. So we've got Jacob Hatton instead, who's just
Yay!
As good. Got upgrades.
Very excited to not be Charlene Jahan.
It's a great day to be Jacob Hatton
it's
today.
It's a great day to be Jacob Hatton, man.
I know, I was Jacob Hatton yesterday.
And yeah, man, like I remember. It was a good time.
It was wonderful.
But today's my day.
You never gave me my shirt back.
Oh, yeah, well... No, I didn't give Charlene Jahan's spot back either. I'm taking everything today.
Yeah, we had a really weird whispered conversation. She's like, just going in. I don't think I'm going to be able to get out. I'm too deep in the queue. I was like, just go in. We'll find someone. Jacob was available. So, brilliant news.
Right. That is, the fact that she did that while she was in the queue, it's not like she was in the show going, I'm trapped in the show. She was like, I'm trapped in the show.
I'm doing this now.
I'm in a queue. Can't get out. That's how British she is. I can't leave.
No, she's American.
That's what I'm saying. She's been here for that long.
Yeah. I'm British and I just walked out of Mr. Thing.
Yeah.
I risked the wee wee jingle.
I mean, I need to hear more about that.
No idea what that means.
You've mentioned that twice. Yeah. What is it?
If anybody gets up to leave, there is a jingle played about going for a wee wee.
It should be a tinkle jingle.
Well, I'll give them that note.
Thank you. Good.
But you can give them that note.
I will give them that note.
Tom Tuck in the back there nodding on. Yes, it should have been there.
Right, we've got a little bit of low-level, non-verbal, important audience participation, so you don't need to be scared of them. Who would like to influence the show? Oh, yeah.
Evil bastards.
Neither of these two get them.
If you want the power, you shouldn't have the power. Really.
Yeah, you want it too much. It's like politicians. If you want it too much, you shouldn't have it. I mean, he is putting in a hell of a play.
Full spirit.
Richard, you're the keeper of the paddle people.
I am going to for balance. I think we're
paddle
going,
people.
Yes.
All right. Paddle people.
I trust you.
Don't fuck this up.
What colour paddle would you like?
It's
red.
Oh, powerful.
Red. All right, red one.
Strong choice.
Leo. This is Leo, everybody.
Yes.
Right. You've got new balls, Leo.
Congratulations, but Leo.
Tell them what it says on the paddle, Vix.
it draws the eye.
The paddle says new balls.
The paddle says new balls. What that means is if you have had enough of a story, if there's someone on the panel you don't like as much as the others, you can play that once and once only. We will stop what they're saying. We'll move on. They can't even finish the sentence. Red paddle goes up. New balls. We start a different category. So it's powerful, that one. Right? There were hands up.
Who
else are we bestowing?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
What colour? Green or yellow?
Green, please.
Green for you.
Oh.
Oh.
Brilliant.
Fruit machine.
Somebody understood the assignment. Fruit machine, you can play again only once. You have the power to scramble the scores. So somebody can absolutely smash it on story after story that everybody loves, and Rich Wilson could still win. That is the power of that paddle.
Happened yet.
No. Right, who's going to be the yellow paddle person? Don't give it to the people who haven't paid. We're delighted to have you here. We don't care. Yes. Right, should we play?
Yes, have you explained what that paddle means?
Oh, no, I haven't. That's the one that everybody wants on the panel. If you love the story that you've heard, you can double the points.
Sorry, I didn't listen.
2 points was quite self-explanatory. The two of them can't figure it out.
So now you get to double the points. Brilliant.
What's your name, sir?
Ed.
Ed. Double points, Ed. Okay. That's what they call him.
I'm going to have a look and see what kind of story he would favour. I'm very competitive, you noticed.
Yeah, she is. She's the only person with notes.
For a completely random game.
Oh, it's so random. Like, don't look at this. yeah, because this ball, I can't control it. So I've got the categories written down. This is just for show. But it's quite therapeutic to roll. But see, no balls come out. Hey!
Oh. Hey.
That's what happens. Oh. That's why I can't. I wasn't expecting that. Right, and the category is... Oh, let's see.
what could it possibly be?
Could it be? Right, either the best or the worst gift you've ever received. Is it someone's penis?
Best and worst.
Yeah, I'll save that for another time. I think one of the best gifts I ever received was also one of the worst, because it was chosen to really appeal to me, but was presented to me in the most passive aggressive manner.
Okay, we're ready.
Okay, it was funny. You've already mentioned this. It was a Ghostbusters Lego firehouse.
What? Oh, that's a great gift. Yeah,
it's an amazing gift, right?
Yes.
It's also in a huge box. And I was 200 miles from home. And I don't drive. And my boyfriend at the time was bringing it as a surprise gift for our anniversary.
Surprise is an albatross.
He really... Yeah, it was it was not only an albatross, but the fact was he took a taxi from Tooting to St. Albans to bring me this gift, which meant he was 2 hours late for our anniversary night out, which he'd made me plan it wasn't even passive aggressive, in a very aggressive manner, because he thought I wasn't putting enough effort into the relationship.
Wow.
And he undermined the whole bloody thing. And you know what the worst thing was? I bought tickets to see a show that I knew he'd like. Aww. It was Bat Out of Hell, and it was the worst thing I've ever seen. No offence, but...
You had your little Lego Ghostbusters garage sitting in its own seat next to you.
not even. I couldn't even, you know, start unboxing pack number one. Start playing with it. So sad. Yeah, that was...
It's heartbreaking.
There were several death knells had sounded before that, but that was the ultimate one.
This is Unprocessed Trauma Arcade, everyone. Okay, yeah.
Thanks. But it was one of the best gifts. It was very me. But it was also horrible. Of course I built it. I waited till I dumped him. And then I left it a couple of months to kind of get over the toxic nature of it.
Out of respect.
Out of disrespect. And then,
She'd do anything for love, but she wouldn't do that.
Hey! Give that woman a point.
Seven him.
Oh my gosh, actually, I genuinely... Hang on.
Oh.
What?
Given the best gift today, and I totally forgot.
Do we take an intermission? Or
sorry, for the listeners. It's all right, we'll wait. I mean, everything about this.
I genuinely right. Ready. This is genuinely the best gift. I can't. Right. This is.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Whoa! I casually mentioned to someone how I've always wanted a grappling hook. And I arrived in Edinburgh today, and they gave me a grappling hook.
What are you going to grapple with that? I'm scared of it. It's pointy.
I don't know.
That's not the point.
It's like a proper Batman.
I think I'll give you a new reason to have new balls.
Oh, that's sharp.
Yeah.
How are you planning on leaving this gig tonight?
Well, that's a problem. I'm missing the other half of it that you would attach to this.
Oh, so it's the worst gift, right? Okay.
It is both the best and worst gift. That's right. It's incredible, and I still can't use it.
How well did this person know you? That
clearly very well. We've actually only hung out a few times, but it was, to be fair, it was because. He's working on another show that involved a grappling hook.
Oh, right.
Right.
Okay.
And
okay.
He was like, I nabbed one for you because you were talking about how much
you like. That's the right thing. Add it to your armory. To the shop.
I hope they don't need the grappling hook. He throws the rope up and just disappears.
Hit you in the face.
Yeah. Oh, there's normally something on the end of that. That's a bit shit.
Best or worst gift, God. Richard?
My sister is so bad at buying gifts. And I bought, she really likes the Beatles, so I bought her, funnily enough, I bought her Yellow Submarine Lego. It's a top present.
Classic, right? Gift,
brilliant, really brilliant gift, right? She bought me, it was a tin picture, not about that size, of my poster.
It's
for
Rich's
my
show, by the way. And, it's subtle, but it's there.
It's A3.
It said,
it's laminated to catch the tears.
Yeah. So when people chuck it in a urinal, I would just fish it back out again. Oh. Nothing like better than pissing on my own face. That's when you give out your flyers and then you go, and they go, yeah, I'll come. And then you go to the toilet and go, that's my fucking head. At least fold it up and throw it in a bin. Don't put it in a toilet. It was a metal sign about this size. And it had like inspirational quotes down it. Yeah. It was all like, oh, it sees the day, you make your bed, make sure you put batteries in your life and all that shit. And I was just the best thing about it was is that my my partner who's had a flatmate at the time, she was with me when I got the present, and I went, what the fuck am I going to do with this? And I just kind of took it and then went home, left it in the bags that went back to her house, and then she gave it to her flatmate at the time and said it was a gift from me. And he didn't know, we'd only just met, he didn't know who I was really. Oh, and he was like, oh, that's really nice. And then when I told him, he was like, thank fuck for that. It just, I thought you were a cunt.
I might be, but not for the reasons you described.
For other things.
What a great
But I hate story. All that. I hate all that. Gubbins.
Live, love, love.
Yeah, Prosecco o'clock and it's 12 o'clock. So whatever it is, it's some bullshit.
As far
somewhere.
As everyone else knows, we're a normal family. That one.
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah.
That is
only
horrible.
It's only really tedious families.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the irony, they're not that. If you've got to put a sign up on your kitchen wall that says, we are family, yeah, someone's been molested somewhere and
and you owe your family silence.
Yeah. You are all a fucking, you are a shower of liars, honestly.
So imagine those kind of signs like in the Mafia family house. Oh, yeah. Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. What'd you say? That's what I thought you said. Keep your fucking mouth shut. Who likes concrete boots? That kind of thing. Yeah.
I went round a university friend's house that has like a lot of those. And I knew him at university and I always thought there was something like off. About him. Anyway, I went around his house and he's got his like new wife, and it had all sorts of like
what happened to his old wife?
Well, we may find out in a second, because all around the house were all those signs, you know, like live, laugh, love, things like that, and just things that it sort of looked a little bit like the kind of house you see like in a showroom. There was no like personal touch, whatsoever. Yeah. And I looked at them, and anyway, later on at the night on the evening, I was sort of going on into his laptop to put some tunes on, and I found sound files of his new wife orgasming.
What? How did you recognise the sound?
Yeah.
Because
it's definitely his wife. Like, don't go anywhere.
Give yourself a point.
That sounds like Patricia.
It's because it was because the sounds were called rachelorgasm.wav.
And you clicked. Why did you click it?
Wow.
If you see something like that, you click.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
Like. You know, curiosity killed the cat.
Why did he?
Don't press the red button. Worst gift you were ever given?
No. The worst and best gifts I was ever given were by my brother.
So you just wanted to share that anecdote with us?
I just wanted to share. Yeah, why not?
I got a funny story.
Fuck the category.
Look, man, you tell me what the categories were like 20 seconds ago. I'm not, you know, I'm
You've
not,
not seen them. It's all random.
It's those people.
Yeah, that's right. It's all random.
It's the same people that have to have the words in each room to tell you what to do when you get to that room.
Yeah.
Like, we're in the bathroom, it just says bath. And in the bedroom, it says sleep. And you're like, are you that fucking stupid that you need... Like on the stairs, it says walk.
Life is short. Eat dessert first.
Yeah, shoot yourself in the fucking head. There's a sign for you. You can have that next to your man cave sign, you dickhead.
Oh, that is the worst one.
Man cave, because I'm a man, I can only do man things. I like football and eating.
In a cave.
Yeah, in a cave.
In a cave.
Andrew Tate's a fucking legend. Anyway. Listen, do us a favour, stop tweeting about him. That bloke needs no oxygen, all right? The more we talk about him, the more he fucking gets looked at. Let's not do that, shall we? He's had 1.6 billion views because everyone's going, look at this prick, look at this prick, look at this prick. Let's cut him off. He's a fucking ball bag. Anyway, back to the show.
Yeah. Back to the game.
Jacob, the best of what's gift you have.
It's going to be an anti-climax after this, man.
Well,
but like,
well, we've already had a climax.
Hey!
Give yourself a point if you're
absolutely
allowed to. I don't know the rules of this game. I think you're allowed. Anyway, my best and worst gift was simultaneously by my brother to me. Yeah, that's good. We've written Vic's 2 points for that right there. Simultaneously were by my brother to me. He brought me a £1 pendant of the Eiffel Tower for Christmas, and then he bought me 19 cigarettes. what he did is he arranged the cigarettes like throughout the house in a sort of fag treasure hunt. And then at the end was this £1 pendant, which still had the price tag on it. And I was like, why have you done this? And also, like, why? Like, come on, man, it's a pound. Like, why do you even bother with this? And he just looks at me in the eyes and goes, I nicked them all. And in my head, that's why it's the best, because ultimately, what is a gift but love and thought? And he put a lot of thought into that treasure hunt, and he experienced genuine jeopardy trying to get that gift to me.
Beautiful
and
thing.
That, yeah, exactly. Beautiful family love, and that's my thoughts.
As far as everyone's concerned, they're normal.
Yeah. I think we've already passed that stage.
Good first round, everyone.
Live, laugh, rob some fags.
Yeah. What a beautiful story of love and family. Right, hang on. First time.
That's quick. Yeah.
Right, we're talking about now your sexual awakenings.
So I was at Jacob's friend's house.
As I grappled in through the window.
They didn't know she was there.
But for me, genuinely, David Bowie's Crotch and Labyrinth.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people's.
Yeah.
Either that or the mine. Fox from the Disney Robin Hood. Yeah.
Are we the same person?
We are the same person.
It's a fairly standard pathway, I think. I Google him once a year, the voice actor of the Robin Hood, and it's disappointing every year. I Google that about the same amount of times I Google how old is Tom Holland when that umbrella video comes out.
Rihanna,
how wrong is this?
The lip sync, yeah, that was like my adult sexual awakening where I was like, oh.
Old enough is the answer. Save yourself a Google.
I completely agree with Bowie because I went to see Labyrinth when it came out. I was very, very small, and my uncle Aled had promised to take me to the cinema to see whatever I wanted, but I wanted to see Howard the Duck. That's not a kid's film. He didn't know that. We got there, and he's like, we're going to have to go and see Labyrinth, and ooh, wow.
That was a kid's film, I think.
Wow,
really.
That was powerful. It wasn't so much the leggings. It was the makeup. It was that. It was the eyeliner, and it's the same again with Rocky Horror, that kind of thing.
Are you getting it a bit from me tonight then?
Well, yeah, I'm glad we're sitting so far apart.
I feel weird.
But also my
you're right, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
But my heart truly belonged to again showing my age, Spike from Heidi High.
Oh my God! I thought we were going to at least say
not
Buffy.
Tom Holland, but Jeffrey Holland.
Spike from Buffy.
No, that's too obvious. Right. That's too on the nose.
There's people in it don't even know what that is. You're just no idea.
You also, as an Aussie, I have no idea.
Oh shit!
Can you explain it for any non-Brits?
So Heidi High was It was a fairly easy sitcom to watch. It was set in the 1950s, 60s in a holiday camp in Britain. That was what people used to do before package holidays. They could go to Spain. They used to go to some, basically a PGL, an outdoor activity centre kind of thing.
Like a Butlins.
Butlins is still going, but it's much fancier now. Have you been to a Butlins?
Yeah, and it's not fancy at all. It's an absolute shithole.
But it's more expensive now.
You've got your centre parks. So that's your uber classy one. And you've got Butlins. And then back then, you basically slept on a cot.
Just so you know, I said, can you give a reference for people who aren't British? And then you just mentioned more British things.
I heard for the young people.
Why don't you guys find Butlins a hilarious name? It has butt in it. You holiday at a place called Butlins.
I tried that as an opener at a gig I was booked for in Butlins. And I was like, isn't it hilarious? It's called Butlins. Fucking crickets. I stand by it as material.
I think Butlins sounds like what a Butlins' children are called. Like his Alfred, our butler, and his many Butlins.
Who has little Butlins? Oh.
They got little bowties.
Oh, you got little bloody Butlins.
Yeah. So the character I really fancied was he was the sort of apprentice comedian who wasn't. He was learning to be funny, but he was just adorable and really earnest and just the original soft boy. Really,
yeah.
He was lovely. Yeah. I loved him deeply. It was Shag, Marry, Avoid. It was Shag Bowie in Labyrinth, but Marry Spike from Heidi High. Jeffrey, if you're listening.
Who did you avoid?
I'm still single.
Who did you avoid?
Oh, well, I was very small, so everybody.
My uncle Aled was
please finish that sentence.
Yeah.
There were a lot of sex offenders around when we were younger.
Yeah, I don't wish to speak ill of the dead, so.
No, I wasn't saying your uncle Aled.
She's not saying it.
Okay, cool. So I had this sign and it had all these words on it that were. My sexual awakening was the original Wonder Woman, Linda Carter.
Oh, classic. It's a classy choice.
I don't know, because I was very young, because that was in the 70s, so I was extremely young, but it just made me feel odd. And, yeah, and my mum and dad used to take the mickey, knowing that they were like, oh, your lady's going to be on in a minute. And I was like, sure. Yeah. No, so like kink shaming me at like age 8 or whatever it was, and I just sat watching Linda Carter, Wonder Woman, and I thought she was incredible. Even now when I see her, I'm like, oh.
She's looking good for it.
But it does mean I do have a weird thing now for lassos and bronze tights.
What about and grappling hooks?
And grappling hooks.
Oh, it's a bit saucy on the panel tonight. Jacob?
I mean, look, right, I'm going to say this. My sexual awakening was for an episode of Vicar of Dibley. And...
It's the puddle. It's where she falls in the puddle.
Classic.
Classic, of course. Every lad's, you know, just posters of her up inside the locker. No, like, basically, there's an episode where the Vicar of Dibley, whose name is the Vicar of Dibley for this anecdote.
Geraldine.
Cheers. When Geraldine, the Vicar of Dibley, right? By the way, if there are any non-Brits, we're really not helping you with these anecdotes. No. Vicar of Dibley gets, like, a fella... And she sleeps with him, and just before she does it, there's like a picture of Jesus by her, on her bedside table, and she just turns it over and goes, "Now's the not going to be the night for you." And I just looked at that, and I was like, "Woof." even at like 8, 9, I was like, "That's something."
Oh yeah,
he's getting rid of Jesus out of this room.
Do you know what?
I want all my sex to be that exciting. I fancy Jesus is out.
Yeah. That's how rough this is going to be. Yeah.
And she's a vicar.
Yeah.
So whatever she's doing must be really raunchy.
He was nailed to a cross.
Yeah.
I mean, that bloke saw some things. And even she went, this isn't for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well done.
It was Richard Armitage as well. He was fit. He's still fit. He's not dead. But
I used to.
Oh, I am, also I am bisexual, so there is that.
Yeah. Ah. It was the both. Beard on Jesus, was it?
Do you have a picture of Jesus next to your bed?
Hey. Yeah.
So your wife knows when it's time. You just like turn over.
It's one of them weird Caravaggio ones from the 17th century where they paint him without a crotch. That's a deep cut reference. Yeah. Wow.
Crotchless Jesus.
Right. Let's move on.
I used to fancy Dawn French. I did. And then I was lucky enough to meet her. And she was like, "What are you doing in my kitchen?" And I was like,
"Turn that picture of Jesus over." Yeah.
Like, he just came up the grappling hook.
Hey, turn that picture of Jesus over. I got something. Anyway, I was lucky enough to meet her, and she just said, she went, "Can I have a hug?" And I was like, "Oh my god, yeah!" Aww. And we had a hug. And I remember years ago in the '90s, saying to my a mate of mine, "I wonder what Dawn French smells like." And then I got to find out,
aww,
and it was lovely. She was really nice, yeah. But it was weird when I went.
Sure,
and
that made you,
you
stop fancying her.
No, I know.
You said I used to fancy her, and then we were all waiting for something. You know, when it turned a corner.
Yeah, well, you know, once you've had sex with someone. No, she just smelt really nice. It was just clean and fresh, and as you imagine, she smelled like a freshly turned over Jesus.
What a night we're having. Fucking hell.
Want that as a car freshener. Freshly turned over Jesus. And then you just turn it around.
Oh, that smells amazing.
Right. On the other side of this, tell me about your first ever heartbreak. But make it funny.
Oh, yeah.
So if there's a really harrowing one, go for the second one.
When you have to turn Jesus back.
And he's just like his big eyes like that. What the fuck did you do?
Heroin broke my heart.
Heartbreak.
Yeah.
Oh. Are you just saying words? Are you buffering? What's happening here? Yeah,
I'm trying to get someone else to go first. All of mine are awful.
To be honest, I don't like... As a heartbreaker, no. No.
I'll give you a point because that was funny.
Was it though? I don't know. Anyway, whatever. I'm not going to undermine myself.
We could do a show of hands, but I don't think you'd like
yourself. The first girl that broke my heart, right? I'll be honest, this isn't that... it's not actually funny how she did it, but what is funny is that her brother's real name was Max Payne.
Wow.
And he threatened to attack me after we broke up, and I said, "You're going to cause me Max Payne." And he cried because we were 12.
It's probably not the first time he heard that.
No.
I think that the first time I experienced true heartbreak, it wasn't a romantic thing. It was my best friend Rebecca told me that she was moving to South Africa.
Aww.
No, I loved spending time with her. We were tight as anything, but
wow. New balls.
Brutal.
Wow. Brutal, man.
We don't get to hear about Rebecca now.
Holy shit.
Oh, shit.
Fine.
Oh. That was maliciously played.
It really was.
Wow. Ooh. That was brutal.
Wouldn't like to be you at the end of this, right?
So-called Leo.
No, none of them are funny. We're talking about our own story. Like, yeah, I'm really
no,
funny.
No, you're not allowed. That's the rules. No, not allowed.
Jesus.
Turn over, Jesus. You don't need to see what's going to happen.
Jesus wasn't here to see that.
Right, yeah. What's your best travel story?
Oh, no.
Well, you've just both been on cruises.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's not the best
one. You can have a cruise off.
How about I'll tell one that is not a funny anecdote. But we'll give you enough time
safe
to think
safe
of something.
Safe in the knowledge that new balls can't be played. You can go on and on, Beck. No one can stop you.
It's just that when I was 18, I went, this is where you guys think of good stories. So when I'm sacrificing myself, I'm kind of like Jesus. So
turn around.
When I was 18, I was doing the backpacking thing, and I was off to Tokyo But that was the first stop. And on the way there, realized that I had no idea what I was doing. I hadn't booked anything. I had no accommodation. This is before smartphones. I just thought I would arrive and stuff would happen, much like Fringe. And and I got there, and then I realized when I hit the airport that I had no clue where I was or where I was going to stay or anything like that. I had just a bit of a breakdown at the airport, and there was a guy behind me who I'd chatted to while I was waiting for the loos on the plane, and he was like, "Are you all right?" And I was like, "I don't know what I'm doing. I've been over my head." And he was like, "Oh well, you know, my auntie's from Melbourne. I'm going to stay with her. Come and meet her. She can maybe help give you some advice or something." So we came out, and this woman looks me up and down and goes, "Right, got astray, have we?" And I was like, all tears. Oh, I don't know what I'm doing. I thought I'd just go to Tokyo. It'd be like Lost in Translation, but it's not like Lost. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not rich. You're not Bill Murray. So I was like genuinely freaked out, and she could see that. And so she was like, "Well, you know, it's late. Come and stay with us. You can stay with me, and, you know, call your parents, let them know you're safe and all that sort of thing." So I ended up staying with her while I was there. Turns out she was like in Japan, like the president of Tupperware. So now every time I use Tupperware, I'm like,
"Wait, that's a point." Winner.
Like, I'm like, "Yeah, thanks, Rose. You really took me in a tricky Aww. Moment there."
Wow.
Yeah.
President of Tupperware.
Yeah.
What a job.
That's a job.
Yeah, it might not be a job. She might just have collected Tupperware.
That's right.
I am the president.
They're all getting in there at night, sealing your stuff in.
That's it, yeah. Her flat was like very, very fresh. But the windows weren't clear at all. It was very foggy.
Yeah. Just, yes. So before Edinburgh, a promoter rang me up and said, "Someone's dropped out of this cruise. I need a comedian. Can you work clean?" And I went, "What do you mean, like no swearing?" And he was like, "Yeah." And I went, he went, "Okay, come and do this cruise to Norway for a week." And I was like, "I don't know if I can do that." And then he told me how much. And I went, "Okay, I've got my bags packed. I'll be there." Turns out I can't work clean. It was fucking horrific for the entire week. But what they do, because it was a buffet, we were talking about this earlier, it's a buffet for every meal. So, and there's just all manner of things. And because I was like, I'm having like 10 dinners just piled up. Every time, it was on the first day I was having my dinner, and it's all piled up all around me, desserts and all sorts. And I'm eating, and there was a family there, and we kind of nodded at each other, and then I carried on eating. And then I was like, "Oh, there was something else that I saw, and I quite fancy that. But I don't want to bring that back here, because I've just had this in front of this family. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pretend that I'm leaving. Good to see you. Good to see you." And I went off around the other side of the dining area to start again. So I piled up. I wasn't even hungry. I was just greedy. And I just piled it all up again. And I'm stood there with my tray, and a woman in the queue, she just went, Are you Richard?" And I went, "Oh yeah, I am actually, yeah." Thinking she'd seen my face on a poster, "I'm the comedian for the ship." And I was a bit like, "Oh yeah, fucking fame at last, right?" She went, "No, you've dropped your cabin card, and it's round by you where you were sat, and I've left it on the table." And I had to go back with my other 10 dinners and just sit there like a fat piece of shit. Just burrowing into my dinner. I'm so sorry. Idiot.
Yeah, I'm just off a cruise as well. I wasn't doing comedy, as you can probably all tell. In my defence, I've still got my sea legs, so I'm still feeling quite dizzy. It does feel like we are moving at all times.
I've had a lot of cider today as well, though.
Yeah. It's because the people keep trying to sell it to me.
Can't rule that out as a factor.
Some of my best travel stories are travelling with my friend Julia, who I've known since I was like 10. We were in Brownies together. And she has this preternatural instinct for when a crime is about to occur. She could do with a grappling hook, I'll be perfectly honest. And she's not afraid to get physical with anybody about to commit a crime upon us. So there was the time we're in Goa, and somebody reached in through our taxi window to grab the bag, and she nearly twisted their hand off. We're in Rome, and she actually caught the hand of a pickpocket reaching into somebody's bag. and just gripped onto their hand until they wept in pain. Oh. And all their colleagues in their little pickpocket gang ran off the train. It was like, you're going to the police. The best one was, we were in Morocco and we were being, there was a shortcut, which it was a little bit quiet, from the beach to our hotel. In our defence, that holiday cost £149 each for a week, including flights. It was amazing. and yes, but it was not in the nicest area.
Not if anymore.
And then, so with we were being sort of followed and chatted with and everything, and she was like, get ready to run. I was like, what? Get ready to run. And she's just like, right, go. And then she twisted this person's arm right up the back, and they were crying, and their colleague was screaming and then ran off. Which sounded all right, but these were 8-year-olds trying to mug us. They were trying to mug us, though.
The colleague.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they were professional. They were organised. I mean, more organised than me. So yeah, always travel with somebody who chooses violence. That's what I can say.
It's a good lesson.
There you go.
Yeah, I knew there was a couple of comedians that were abroad somewhere, and these two lads were walking along, and one of the comedians he was known for being sort of like physically fit, and it's like he lives in the woods and all that sort of thing, and he was eating chips wherever he was. And then the other comedians, and these two lads had kind of appeared and I started to chat with them. And all of a sudden, one of them realised that this guy on the right had nicked his wallet and went to run off. And so the comedian who lives in the woods grabbed the other guy around the throat, lifted him up against the wall.
I don't think we've covered the comedian lives in the woods enough.
Do you mean he's Winnie the Pooh? That's a comedian who lives in the woods.
He just shouted at the bloke running off. He goes, you're going to watch your friend fucking die.
Oh my God.
And his mate came back, gave him the wallet, and then they just fucked him off. So, yeah.
Who was that?
Craig Campbell. He's kind of lost his marbles a little bit with all COVID and
living
conspiracy
in the woods.
Theories.
Googling him.
He's gone off on my
Oh, yes.
Thanks, man.
Is that because you just remembered you hadn't played it yet?
Yeah, yeah. He was nodding off. He's like, oh, shit.
Ed's a survivalist, clearly. He was very into that. He lives in the woods as well. In a cabin, a nice cabin.
We're all going to live in the woods eventually, the way it's going. So.
There's not going to be any woods left. They're going to burn down. Let's bring the mood right down.
Yeah. Jacob, travel story?
Yeah, I'm not
going to...
I'm not going to lie to you. Like, this story is quite harrowing, and I'm sort of concerned that the new Bulls thing's already been played.
Because
I don't know how it's going to go. But basically...
We've got 5 minutes.
Yeah, fine. Right, let's get it. Let's have a little group sesh. So, basically... So when I was 21, I did a road trip across America, and I went all through the Deep South, and we met like a lot of my friends, like college friends. Like, he went to college in America, I met a bunch of them, and we went out, and I met this guy called Jamie, and he had two friends, George and Tom, right? And they were like, you know what, man? By the way, I can't do their accent, but you get the idea. It was a proper like Southern, you know, like
giving it a whirl, and we appreciate it.
Georgian. Like, it's a sort of accent where if you arrived into a town full of these people, you'd expect one to be sort of sat on a tree playing a banjo and all the others sort of secretly plotting your death. And I got in the car and they were like, oh, just come out for the weekend with us. We'll go to the woods. We'll have some fun. And the first thing, now, I was young, impressionable, and I should have been alerted to the fact it was going to be a weird 2 days. When the first thing they said when they got in the car and locked the doors is, hey man, this is America. We drink drive here. And so we're driving, we're drinking, we have a good time. The car was swerving. And they were like, by the way, right, there's one thing we all do just out of politeness, and we all suck Tom's dick.
I think that's one of those.
And I was at this stage about 50 miles outside of the town, the nearest town. And Tom turned out to be a sort of old man who like works in this, like this, like the land. And they're like, we all suck Tom's dick. And I, like, for a long time, and I was sitting there and I was like, look, what are my options here? Like, do I, because the thing is, what are my options? Like, I can't call the police, I've got no number. And I was sort of, so after a while, I was like wetting my lips, being like, you know, and like, you know, I'll say this. I don't suck any dicks, but I know if it came to it, I'd give a good one. Like, I've got no
guy from Fire Festival prepared to do what he wants. Hey, look, man. Water,
like. I've got no gag reflex and amazing lips. So, like,
Tom would have had a great time.
He'd have had a great time. We got all the way there, and after a while, it became abundant that this was just a funny prank, and I wasn't going to have to suck any dicks, right? What we were going to do is take LSD and then shoot things.
Yes.
So this category was for.
At a day and a half session, of which I assume it was a day and a half, it like seemed like time really can stretch and contracts, and I fired quite a lot of firearms at cans and things, and contemplated my own mortality. It was very inward, and it was very beautiful time, and a really good time. And then on the way back, right, there was just this kind of weird energy in the car. And like, after a while, one of George, the guy who took us, he just looked at me and he said, "Would you really have sucked his dick, man?" And I was just like, well, yeah. Because even when I realized that wasn't on the table, the real activity on the table was shoot guns and take LSD. Like, I don't know what you think. Like, I don't know what kind of company you think you all are. But I was in survival mode. And there was just silence for the rest of it. It took 7 hours for us to get back to Oxford, Mississippi, right? And there was silence. And then 2 days later, I got a Facebook message from him saying that he'd been to church and he'd prayed about what I said, that I've really sucked this guy's dick.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
And that because of that, he was concerned that he was losing his faith in God. And he didn't feel like...
Had to turn the picture of Jesus around.
Well, yeah, look... Anyway, look,
you here?
I'll just put this out here. I won't suck any of your dicks, but I will do it in a life-threatening situation. I think that's...
Jacob's the guy you want on your team. Jacob is the guy you want on your team.
I'd suck a dick to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck it, why not?
I'd do it out of embarrassment, so I don't know if like...
I'd do it now just to something to do.
That's not the kind of show we've got. Yeah.
I've never done it, you know, in for a penny.
But you wish you hadn't played your paddle now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not new, but they're very clean. Right, did you want to tell your travel story back?
No, his
you sure?
No, his was better.
I just remember this is being recorded.
Yeah, it's fine. We've redacted so much over the last 8 days.
This is now evidence.
Yeah.
All right. Tom, if you're listening. He's probably dead now, but if you're listening... I'm still up for it.
Tell him I.
Yeah, and if he's still free, Rich will go as well.
I'll hum on his balls while you suck.
The audience aren't drunk enough for this, man.
Oh,
this is a Saturday anecdote.
Well, it's officially Friday now, so it's Friday. Hey! Welcome to Friday. Right, that is inexplicably the end of the game. We've ended on that story.
Okay.
From that guy.
But I do really want to get a motivational poster that just says we all suck Tom's dick.
Yeah.
In survival mode.
Yeah.
You
in
would.
Doubt, flop it out.
Well, Jacob, you're the winner.
Really?
It's an absolute runaway success.
Yes, it's Jacob's day. Fuck you, Charlie Jacob's
day.
It's Jacob's day. It's a good day to be Jacob.
Sure is. It's a good day to be Jacob.
Wait. But is Jacob the winner? Wasn't there another paddle?
Oh, there is another paddle.
We haven't got time for that, so yeah, I'm afraid so. This has been Comedy Arcade. You are now free to go.
Yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings. From premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts, start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.